Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. I hope everyone is well and is having a meaningful and uplifting week. There is public service announcement. We do have Shir next week, but Ezrat Hashem, it is the legal holiday of Thanksgiving. I will be teaching. I hope somebody will be joining me. We do have a sponsor. So yes, we do have Shir. We should all be well. Ezrat Hashem next week. We have two sponsors tonight. I don't remember which one came first. So I don't remember. Usually I really try to be makfit on that, so whoever it was, the other one, please be mevater. Okay, first of all, May Bloom is sponsoring. She is not the first time she is sponsored. She sponsored in the past. She already is a date in the future. Tiskli Mitzvos of the Meisim Tovim. Tomorrow, May Bloom is sponsoring in Lezecher Nishmas, her brother, Lezecher Nishmas Rav Yehuda ben Achaver Shalom, whose Yortzeit is on 27 Cheshvan, which is on Monday. My brother is a true Ben Torah, who has Koveya Itim the Torah, Midaktik B'mitzvos, and devoted and caring to our parents. He never married, but he always told me that my children and my sister's children were like grandchildren to him. Yehei Zechro Baruch. So on the occasion of his Yortzeit, may the spiritual peros that come out of the Divrei Torah that we share tonight be Yizchus Aliyah Neshama for Rav Yehuda ben Achaver Shalom, Yortzeit Chof Zayin Cheshvan be'Ezras Hashem. Other sponsor is, I think, Shani, this is your first time sponsoring Pirkei Avos. Thank you. Tiskli Mitzvos Amaisim Tovim, my friend Shani Gerlitz, who I've been learning with, I think, for 7 to 8 years now. And what she is sponsoring in honor of this weekend is her and her husband's birthday anniversary. Her husband's birthday is this Shabbos, November 19th, and then Baruch Hashem, the anniversary is on the 20th. She said that her husband is very supportive of all her Torah learning and knows how much she values her classes with Michal. I can't think of a more meaningful way to celebrate this birthday anniversary than to help Michal spread more Torah. So that's really, thank you. Tiskli Mitzvos Ulamaisim Tovim, both of you. Okay, so let's get into our learning. So I'm going to be talking about two Mishnahs. We're going to start with two Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, which share a similar theme. And then we're going to be looking, tying it into the Parshas HaShavua. So I begin in Parak Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav. Okay. Shammai Omer, Shammai says, Asei Soras HaKeva, make your Torah learning permanent. Okay, or art school translated, fixed practice, which, no pun intended, ties into my announcement that Ezra Hashem, we should be well. There is Shir next week. Make your Torah learning a fixed practice. Make it permanent. Okay, and Mar Ma'at Vasei Harbe, you should say a little and do a lot. The Hevi Mekabel Es Kol HaAdam B'Sever Panim Yafos, and you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance. Okay, so Shammai says, make your Torah learning permanent or fixed. Say a little and do a lot. And Hevi Mekabel Es Kol HaAdam B'Sever Panim Yafos, which is what I want to speak about tonight. Greet every person with a pleasant countenance. That's one Mishnah. It's in Perak Aleph, Mishnah Tazva, of the importance. And Shammai, this is very significant, because Shammai was known for being much more exacting, much more strict than Hillel, who was much more like foregoing and forgiving. No chalin ve'aluvin, Beis Hillel was more than Beis Shammai. For example, when the man came to Shammai, Shabbos Lamed Aleph, and said, convert me on condition that I stand on one foot, Shammai pushed him away. And Hillel told him the essence of the whole Torah while he stood on one foot. So Shammai is known for much stricter, exact this when it comes to determining the halacha, as opposed to Hillel. And mostly we paskin like Hillel over Beis Shammai, but in this case it's interesting that it's Shammai who says, Hevi mekabos ko adam b'sever panim yafos. It's Shammai who is the more exacting approach that teaches us when you greet every person, it must be with a pleasant countenance or pleasant demeanor. And now we go to Perek Gimel of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Tes Zayin, where we have a similar teaching. Here the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael says, Heve kal lerosh, be yielding to a superior, v'noach lishishchores, pleasant to the young, v'heve al mekabel as kol ha'adam b'simcha. So very similar to what Shammai teaches us, Heve mekabel as kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos, Rabbi Yishmael teaches us, Hevi mekabel es kol adam b'simcha. You should greet the entirety of a person and greet every person with simcha. So clearly, we have this teaching from Pirkei Avos, and it is obviously an important area of Avodas Hashem, or the Tanaim would not have put it here in the Mishnah for us, which is that we have to know how to greet another person. And part of being a Yid, and part of being a Ben Adam l'chaveru Yid, is knowing how to greet somebody else, and both both a pleasant demeanor and simcha are integral aspects of our avodas Hashem, because really anything we do bein adam lechaveira ultimately impacts our bein adam lemakom. So with these two mishnayos is our introduction. I'm now going to go to screen share to parachof dalad of Bereishis. I just see my mother-in-law is joining us. Ima, good evening. My mother-in-law joins a shir earlier in the week that she wasn't able to join this week due to conflict, so I'm happy to have you, Ima. And she just had my daughter in Brooklyn for, a visit, a bonding, a Zoom class. My daughter was Zooming from your house. Thank you for having her, Ima. Okay, so let's share my screen. Here we go. Okay, could you say I'm in Bereishis 24? Okay, very good. Okay, so this week's Sadra is Parshas Chayei Sarah. Okay. There's a comment. Malki Sultan, you met my daughter, the dressmaker? My mother-in-law, the dressmaker. How did you know she was my mother-in-law? That's so funny. Such a small world. Okay. So this is this week's Sedra, Parshas Chayei Sarah. Sarah dies in Perachov Gimon. Avram buys the Ma'arat HaMachpelah and he buries his wife. In Perachov Dal, Avram realizes his wife has passed on and his son is not married and there's no one to carry on the Umma Yisraelis. There's no Sheris HaPleita living anywhere else in the world. It's just Avram and Yitzchak. That's it. And if he doesn't get him married, Rashi says to Perachov Dal Pasuk Alv, then what's going to happen? So he needs to get married. So what is the only criteria for the new kala? For Avram Zakim Bo Bayamim, Avram was old, coming on in years. Vashem Berechas Avram Bakol, Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Avram says, Rashi says, Bakol and Gematria is a son. Bakol Beis Chaf Lamed is 52 to 2030. And Ben Beis Nun is also 52. So what did Hashem bless him with? A son. But Avram realized, Sarah just died. My son isn't married. I'm not going to be here forever, Avram said. Who's going to carry on this lineage? So Avram says to his servant, the steward in his home, who rules over everything that is his, put your hand under my thigh. Rashi says, that's a place of bismillah, so the place of mitzvah to take an oath. And take an oath. What is the oath? You will not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan for my son. What will you do? Ki al outzi ve'al moladet ti teilech. You'll reverse the process of lechecha. God told me, lechecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha. I'm telling you to reverse that process. You should go to my land, you should go to my birthplace, and you should take a wife for my son for Yitzchak. So the servant says, okay, but what if the woman doesn't want to come with me? Should I take your son back there? So Avram said, no, be very careful. My son is not going back there. Not only did God command him to leave that place, but Yitzchak was the Ola Tamima from the Akedah, Perachal base, was not allowed to leave Eretz Canaan. And he says, Hashem will arrange the shidduch. Hashem will take care of everything. He'll send the halavai. We should all see the revealed siyata d'shmai that Hashem arranges the shidduchim. He sends a malach before and will take the proper wife for the proper boy. Okay? And if the woman does not want to go with you, then you are absolved from your oath. But my son is not going back there. So leich al artzi ve'al moladati. Take a wife. So the servant takes an oath, he puts his hand by the thigh of his master Avram, and he takes an oath over this matter. And the servant takes 10 camels from the camels of his master. I pointed this out already a few shiurim this week, that gemalim feature very prominently in this narrative. Camels, if you look through Perachov Dalet, it's simply astounding how much of the story is about the gemalim, the camels. It's incredible. I'm not going to go through every pasuk. There's 67 pasukim in this parak, but if you look at it, you'll see camels feature so prominently. And the Kliyakor says to Chav Dalet Yudal, that's because Rivka was a gomelas chesed. She had an affinity for camels, which are called gemalim, because she had such an affinity for gemilut chesedim. So she liked animals that are called after the name of the action that she loves to do. Kliyakor 24:14. So he takes camels, 10 camels from the camels of his master, and he goes, and all the good of his master is in his hand. He goes to Aram Naharaim, to the city of Nachar. Who's Nachar? Let's get the family straight. Remember Terech, Avram's father. So Terech had three sons, Avram, Nachar, and Haran. Haran died when he jumps into the Kibshan Eish with ulterior motives. He leaves a son named Lo. That leaves two brothers, Avram and Nachar. Avram marries Sarai/Yiska. Nachar marries Milcah. So Avram and Nachar are brothers. Nachar and Milcah have a son named Besuel. So that'll be Yitzchak's first cousin. And Besuel has a son named Lavan and a daughter named Rivka. Okay. So he causes the camel to kneel outside the city by the spring of water towards the evening when the water drawers are coming out, and he makes a deal with Hashem. He says, Hashem, Elokei Adoni Abraham, Hashem, the God of my master Abraham, prepare before me today, va'asei chesed im Adoni Abraham. He's saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem, my master does so much chesed for l'chol ba'ei olam. My master Abraham Avinu does chesed for anyone who needs it. If you are the God who pays back midah keneged midah, b'midah shadam modei modedin lo, then I ask you to do chesed with my master Avram, just like Avram does chesed for all the inhabitants of the world who come his way. I ask you, Hashem, to do chesed with Avram. What's the chesed? I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. And it will be Hanara Sharamar Ela Hatina Chadech Veshta, the girl that I say to her, tip your pitcher and I shall drink. Va'amra, and she says, Shusei V'gam K'balacha Ashka, you should drink and also your camel should drink. Osahu chachta la'avdechal Yitzchak, you have proven she is for your servant Yitzchak. Uba eda kiyasi sa chesed imadoni. If she does chesed with me, I know that you have done chesed with my master. And he just finished speaking, and Rivka comes out that she was born to Besuel. The Besuel is the son of Milcah and Nachar, the brother of Avram. I already told you the family tree. And her pitcher is on her shoulder. Why does it say Vikada al Shikhma? Because she wasn't stingy. She was advertising her ware. She wasn't hiding that she had a pitcher of water. If you display it, it means you have like extra water bottles. People might ask you for water. She wasn't trying to hide the water. It was on her shoulder, so anyone who might need would take a drink. And the maiden was very beautiful. She was a virgin. She had not been with a man. And she goes down into the spring and she fills her pitcher and she comes up. And Rashi says the water rose to greet her. There was a miracle. The servant runs to greet her, and he says, please let me sip a little bit of water from your pitcher. I just think it's very interesting. When Avram Avinu offers water to the guests in Perek Yud Ches, he says, Yukach na ma'at mayim. Avram says, Yukach na ma'at mayim. Now, you know nothing in the Torah is an accident, and words are not superfluous. It's very interesting that the Eved says to her, na ma'at mayim. Those are the exact same words by which Avram orders water should be brought for the guests, is how Eliezer requests a drink from Rivka. So you see that he learned from his master's house, even though he couldn't be a Yoresh, and Eliezer wanted his daughter, actually, to marry Avram's son, which wouldn't happen, but it's just very, very interesting that the language he uses to request a drink of water is the same language his master Avram uses to order that water be brought. Okay, so what does she say? Drink, my master. And she hurries, and she quickly lowers her pitcher from her hand, and she gives him to drink. And when he finished drinking, she said, Gam l'gmalacha eshava, also to your camels I will draw water, until they finish drinking. Now, we're so used to the story, but like 10 camels, that's a lot of animals. And they're laden with gold and silver and clothing and tasty delicacies. He had like an entire caravan there. That's a lot of camels. And camels drink a lot of water. And she says, I will pour for your camels until they have finished drinking. And she hurries up and she pours the pitcher into the shokeses, al ha-shokes, until the trough. And she runs to the spring and she draws more water. And she draws water for all the camels. And the man was astonished. He's like standing there silently wondering, has Hashem made his mission successful? And when the camels finished drinking, he realizes this is the one. And he takes the gold, and he takes the earrings, and he puts the bracelet on her hand, and he gives her, and the bracelet on her hand is 10 zahavin weight. 10 shekel zahavin weight. Rashi explains the significance, and he says, who are you? Is there room for me? She says her family lineage, and there's going to be a whole sherech. So what was the only requirement? That she should be a gomelas chesed. But remember, we are basing this on the two mishnais where we started, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav, where Shammai says, Hevi mekabalas kol adam besever panem yafos, and Perak Gimel, Mishnah Tezayin, where Rabbi Yishmael says, Hevi mekabalas kol adam besimcha. Okay, I am now going to quote, I'm sure some of you saw, I don't know if you did or not, but this past Monday, Monday was really a two-day international day of learning, Zecher Nishmas Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zechor Levracha. His second Yahrzeit was in the beginning of this week, I believe it was Monday, Sunday into Monday was this day of learning. really international opportunities to learn. So I thought it would be appropriate on his Yahrzeit. It's Parshas Chayei Sarah. But Sarah died. So why is it called Chayei Sarah if she died? Because, like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Yod Ches Aleph, Tzadikim Afa Misasin Ekraim Chayim. The righteous all live on after their death. Even in death, the righteous are called alive. How? Through their teachings, through their legacy, through their Mesorah. So I thought it would be a beautiful thing to do, to learn a piece by the great Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks in tribute to his second Yahrzeit. So I am quoting from the Sefer, Essays on Ethics. Okay? Essays on Ethics. In 1966, an 11-year-old, I'm quoting it exactly how it's written in this book. I hope that it's okay to say it exactly how it's written. I'm literally quoting from the book. This was published in 2016, very recent. In 1966, an 11-year-old black boy moved with his parents and family, 1966, to a white neighborhood in Washington, D.C., sitting with his two brothers and two sisters on the front step of the house, he waited to see how they would be greeted. They were not. Passers-by turned to look at them, but no one even gave them a smile or even a glance of recognition. Of course, that relates to both Mishnahs that we are studying or using as a point of departure this evening. Hevi Mekabas Kodam B'Seir Panim Yafos. Hevi Mekabas Kodam B'Simcha. Well, we see a person, we have to know how to greet them. It's part of Avodas Hashem. It's not good manners. It's actually Torah. And if it wasn't Torah, it wouldn't be included in Pirkei Avos. So it means even if you're not having the best day and even things are a little difficult and maybe things didn't go so easy for you that morning and then you're in the grocery and you see someone that you know. So it's part of Avodas Hashem. So put on a smile. So you say, I don't feel like smiling. I'd say, that's okay. You still have to know how to greet another person. He waited to see how they would be greeted. They were not. Passers-by turned to look at them, but no one even gave them a smile or a glance of recognition. All the feel-for stories he heard about how whites treated blacks seemed to be coming true. Years later, writing about those first days in their new home, he said, quote, I knew we were not welcome here. I knew we would not be liked here. I knew we would have no friends here. I knew we should not have moved here. As he was thinking these thoughts, a white woman came home from work, passing by on the other side of the road. She turned to the children, the black children, and this white woman with a broad smile, called Adam B'Simcha, said, "Welcome." Disappearing into the house, she emerged minutes later with a tray laden with drinks and cream cheese and jelly sandwiches, which she brought over to the children, making them feel welcome and at home. That moment, the young man later wrote, changed his life. One woman went into the house, and these children were being ignored, and she brought out cream cheese and jelly sandwiches. That man later wrote that that moment changed his life. It gave him a sense of belonging where there was none before. It made him realize, at a time when race relations in the United States were fraught with tension, that a black family could feel at home in a white area. There could be relationships that were colorblind. So maybe you're thinking, this has nothing to do with me, because I want to learn about interaction with Yiddin. First of all, it's very, very interesting. I didn't have time to teach last week. I wanted to. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Kol Ram says, why was Sarah in trouble for laughing at the angels? Like, of course, she's 89 years old. Why should she believe their bracha? Rav Moshe says something piercing. He says she had an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. She didn't know they were malachim. To show these non-Jews, I mean, everyone there was non-Jews, but that there is a God and you believe in him. If they made a bracha, she should have said amen to make a positive impression on the Umos HaOlam. Very powerful. So maybe you think this has nothing to do with you. So that's number one. All of our you're going to see that this white woman was Jewish. Okay? All of our interactions makes a positive or negative impression. We live in the world of exile, and there are many nations that surround us. So first of all, everything we do does make an impression on somebody else, Jew or non-Jew. Second of all, there are many Jews who are different than we are. So substitute black child for a different kind of Jew. And unfortunately, there exists often intolerance between different factions of Jews. I'm not trying to talk Lashon Hara, I'm not saying any specific group. Every person has to work on themselves. But it happens to be that this is a sad fact of Galus. We don't always get along. There is intolerance. We don't always accept each other. So number one, it does apply to us. Look up Rav Moshe Kol Ram, why Sarah got in trouble for laughing. She had a chiyuv to make an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem before the Umas Olam. By showing she had Amunah in Hashem, by saying Amen, Hashem could do it instead of laughing. And the second aspect of how it relates to us is, how do we greet or interact with other Yidden who might be very, very different than us? I think, it's something I stress all the time in my shiurim, not as often as I say nothing of Torahs by accident, but it is a recurring theme. I think it's very important for us to try and inculcate this into our lives. There are so many different kinds of Jews. I'm not saying you have to be like them. I'm not saying you have to learn from them. Well, and the Mishnah says, Hevi Mekabos, called them Besever Panam Yafos. And I'm not talking about someone who's coming to kill you, Chas V'Sham, Balaharga Hashkim Lahargo. So I'm not talking about any of that. Hevi Mekabos, called them Besimcha. It doesn't say you should check his level of religiosity before you do so. Going back to Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. Over the years, he learned to admire much about the woman across the street. But it was that first spontaneous act of greeting that became a definitive memory. It broke down a wall of separation and it turned strangers into friends. The young man, Stephen Carter, eventually became a law professor at Yale, and he wrote a book about what he learned that day. He called his book Civility. Just be civil. You don't like how other Jews live their lives? Okay, maybe it's not a pitura. Maybe halachically they're not living proper lives. Okay. Leave that up to God. Your responsibility is to be warm, to be kind, to smile. You have to be best friends. You don't have to go to the bar with them. You don't have to eat treif. You have to know to interact with other people. Pirkei Avos is part of Torah. It's not a book of manners. It's Torah. It's the same Torah as Shamar Siyama Shabbos Kacha, same Torah as V'inisim Es Nafshar Seichem, the same Torah as Vali Isha B'nidus Tumasa Lo Sikra V'Galus Arvasa, is the same Torah, in this case Baal Peh, that tells you, Hevei Mechavos called on B'Sever Panam Yafos, Shammai, and B'Simcha, Rabbi Yishma. The name of the woman, he writes in the book Civility, was Sarah Kestenbaum, and she died all too young. He adds in his book that it was no coincidence that she was a religious Jew. In the Jewish tradition, he notes, such civility, he writes this, is called chesed, the doing of acts of kindness, which in turn is derived from the understanding that human beings are made in the image of God. So if we recognize B'Tzelem Elokim Nivra HaAdam, like the Pasuk tells us by Bereishis, then of course I'll be civil to everybody I meet. Of course I'll have simcha for another person. Of course I'll have a sefer panam yafos because I'm greeting the image of God. Civility, he adds, itself may be seen as part of chesed. It does indeed require kindness towards our fellow citizens, including the ones who are strangers, even when it is hard. To this day, he adds, I can close my eyes and feel on my tongue the smooth, slick sweetness of the cream cheese and jelly sandwiches that I gobbled up on that summer afternoon when I discovered that a single act of genuine and unassuming civility can change a life forever. Moshe Feinstein says in Kol Ram, Vayero, why did Sarah get into trouble for laughing? Like three Arabs show up and they're like, oh, you're going to have a child. And she's 89 and she doesn't have her menstrual cycle. And what are you talking about? She had an opportunity before the eyes of the Umas Olam to be Mekadesh Shem Shemai. A single act of genuine and unassuming civility can change a life forever. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Livracha, writes, I never knew Sarah Kestenbaum. But years after I read Carter's book, I gave a lecture in the Jewish community in the part of Washington where she lived. I told them Carter's story, which they had not heard before. But they nodded in recognition, and one of the people said, yes, That's the kind of thing Sarah would do. Something like this was surely in the mind of Avram's servant, unnamed in the text, but traditionally identified as Eliezer, when he arrived at Nachar in Aram Naharaim, northwest Mesopotamia, to find a wife for his master's son. Avram had not told him to look for any specific traits of character. He just said, "God of my extended family." Eliezer, however, formulated a test, and here he quotes the prayer on the test that Eliezer formulated. "Lord God of my master Abram, make me successful today. Show chesed to my master Avram. I am standing beside the spring. The daughter of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. When I say to a young woman, 'Please let down your jar that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will drink your camels as well,' let her be the one. By this I will know you have shown chesed to my master." His use of the word chesed is no accident, says Rabbi Sachs, for it is the very first characteristic he is looking for in the future wife of the first Jewish child, Yitzchak. I think we talk about it sort of tongue-in-cheek, and another powerful lesson from this whole sedra is what we focus on when we're looking for shidduchim. And I know people talk about it, and everyone says it, but somehow there still seems to be a very vast problem. What they call the shidduch crisis, shamir achim. And maybe if we learned to have more civility and say rapanim yafos and simcha, and to be a little bit less judgmental. Someone said something recently to me about a specific person in the shidduch parsha that was like an insane thing to say. I couldn't believe it. I'm not going to repeat it. It was so petty. It was so stupid. I can't believe people really say these things. Like, do you think that's what makes a good spouse? It was so superficial. It was so dumb. People really say these things. Avram didn't care. One thing he cared. "Go to my family, because I know there you will find some chesed." Furthermore, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, this is the theme of the book of Rus. We know that the Medrash Rus Rabbah tells us, why was Rus written? Doesn't teach us halacha, doesn't teach us mitzvah, doesn't teach us Torah. What does it teach us? Chesed. It is Rus's chesed to Naomi, and Boaz's chesed to Rus, that the Tanakh seems to emphasize in sketching the background of King David, our great grandson, who would become Israel's first king and greatest king. Not first king, greatest king. I just thought of something interesting. One second. You want to talk about the chesed that Rus, the Moavia, did for her mother-in-law Naomi and not abandoning her. Rus was a Moavia. You could take it back even further, actually, to the cave, Perek Yotes. Lot, his daughters, the Bechira, gives her father wine and she lays with her father. And who is born? Moav. From Moav comes Rus. From Rus comes Melech HaMashiach. Rus the Baal's chesed actually came in a very strange way from a relationship of chesed. The Bechira and Seira believed there was no one else left in the world, and they were doing a chesed to their father to save his seed and repopulate the world. And Hashem rewarded her with a great-great-granddaughter who was a tremendous Baal's chesed, from whom Mashiach comes. It's also interesting that chesed, which the Bechira did when she had relations with her father, clearly Hashem was maskim. There was wine waiting for them in the tent, in the cave. Chesed, the two letters are Samech Dalet, which also form part of the words of Sodom. Chesed and Sodom, Samech Dalet, and Ches Mem. It's interesting. Sod is like a secret. When you do Chesed, it doesn't have to be so public. And Cham, do it with warmth. You know what I'm talking about? Chesed, Ches Samech Dalet. Sodom, in Chaser, Samech Dalet Mem. The common letters are the Samech and Dalet, Sod. When you do a chesed, it should be the secret. You don't need to publicize and announce. I told you, I was talking to someone recently who said that she's married, Baruch Hashem, for over a decade with a beautiful family. She said she once went on a date with a guy, and all the guy was talking about was all the chesed he did. It wasn't so appealing. So, Sod, when you do a chesed, it should be besod, and then you're left with the letters ches mem, cham. There should be a warmth to how you do your chesed. Shem rewarded those remnants from Saddam. He did. He did it. If he was punishing them, they wouldn't have been the fathers and the mothers of Mashiach. And that transmitted to Rus, her great-great-granddaughter, was transmitted to the kings of Israel, which ultimately will be transmitted to Malach Mashiach. Chesed, providing shelter for the homeless, food for the hungry, assistance to the poor, visiting the sick, comforting the mourners, became constitutive of Jewish life. We also have a constitution. You know what our constitution is? Acts of loving kindness. During the many centuries of exile and dispersion, Jewish communities were built around these needs. There were friendly societies, chevrot, chevros chesed, for each of them. Like there was a chevra shas, I remember growing up in Toronto. Chevra shas was a chevra of shas, Torah. So there was chevra chesed. In 17th century Rome, for example, 1600s, there were seven societies dedicated to the provision of clothing. Listen to this. 17th century Rome. So I'm going back 400 years ago. For example, there were seven societies. We're talking about the Jewish society, the Jewish community in Rome. Excuse me. There were seven societies dedicated to the provision of clothing, shoes, linen beds, and warm winter bed coverings for children, the poor, widows, and prisoners. There were two societies providing trousseaus, am I saying it right, for the girl when she gets married? Yes, Miriam, thank you. Dowries and the loan of jewelry to poor brides. So they had a Chnasas Kala funds. Or, I don't know if they had Chinese auctions, but they had a Chnasas Kala. There was one for visiting the sick, another bringing help to families who suffered bereavement, and others to perform the last rites for those who died. Purification before burial and the burial service itself. It's incredible, because Rabbi Jonathan Sacks often quotes from other sources, historical sources, like you see now, Jewish sources as well. So this is historical proof. Oh, he actually quotes where the source is from, Jewish Life in the Middle Ages by Israel Abrams. Documented proof that all of the gemachs we have today is not a new invention that we just came up with in modern times. This is the foundation of the bastion of Knesset Yisrael. There was one for visiting the sick, bringing help to families who suffer bereavement, performing last rites for those who died, purification before burial, and burial service itself. It goes all the way back to the Avos and the Imahos. 11 fellowships existed for educational and religious aims. 11 fellowships for educational and religious aims. Study and prayer. Another raised alms for Jews living in the Holy Land. And others were involved in the various activities associated with the circumcision of newborn baby boys. You know, when he came and she sees this presumably very tired traveler and she's drawing water and he's a man and she's a young girl and he has 10 camels and he's clearly rich because he has gold and silver and all kinds of packages on the camels. And he says, "Hagmi'ini na ma'at mai mikadech v'eshta. What kind of chutzpah? Get it yourself. The spring's right there. You want a drink? Go down to the spring and get a drink." But in greeting him, Besever Panem Yafos, with Simcha and Zrizos, it allowed her to fulfill an obligation of Chesed. It was a requirement for a mother of Knesset Yisrael. They had various activities associated with the circumcision of newborn boys, education and religious aims, study and prayer. That was in the 1600s in Rome. My friend Rachel Salmin sent me this screenshot earlier in the week. It's from, you know, there's a WhatsApp status called Mikam Chayisrael. Yeah, okay, my brother also follows it. So my friend Michal Salman also will sometimes send me, like, inspirational things. My brother also sometimes will. So she just sent this to me earlier this week. Mikam Chayisrael. So I just told you what existed in the 1600s in Rome. And let's fast forward 400 years to America. I don't know if it was the Five Towns, whatever. Last Monday, my wife went into labor suddenly. It was not a simple birth. She ended up losing a lot of blood. Nearly all of them were unasked, but family, neighbors, friends, and others all stepped in to help out just because that's what Jews do. Today we made the bris. It was provided and set up by a gemach. A suitcase of bris paraphernalia was provided by the gemach. We have suppers given by friends and neighbors for the next 10 days. Another gemach provided a whole bag of various useful items for a post-operation mother. It was thrilling to welcome a child to the bris of Avram Avinu, surrounded by the chesed of Avram Avinu. So from 400 years ago in Rome, to the plains of Mamre in the year 2048 from creation, I went totally out of chronological order, all the way fast forward to our day and age. A hallmark of our nation is knowing how to greet others, and generally, very often, these chesed societies are for strangers. When you go to the hospital rooms, if you've ever been in the hospital, use the Bikur Cholim room, and then, you know, the code's on the door in Hebrew alphabet. So they don't check, they don't ask, they don't know who you are, you're a stranger. And there are people preparing food to be makabel somebody, b'saver panemiaklus, b'simcha, to bring a little bit of cheer to a very difficult situation. And knowing how to greet somebody and doing chesed for them truly go hand in hand. In some respects, the sages say that chesed is greater than tzedakah. He quotes from the Gemara Maseches Sukkah. Chesed is greater than tzedakah in three ways. Charity is done with one's money. Chesed is done with money or your body. Charity is done only to the poor. Chesed is done to the rich and the poor. Chesed, charity is given only to the living. Chesed is done for the living and the dead. And so, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, chesed in its many forms became synonymous with Jewish life, and it is one of the pillars upon which Jewish life stood. And it is the embodiment of Avram Avinu, and the only thing he wanted in Rivka. And she truly knew. His piece is called, by the way, The Kindness of Strangers. How do we greet a stranger? She could have told him, go get your own water. There's the spring. You look perfectly able-bodied. I'll lend you a plaster cup. What do you want from me? Jews perform kindness to one another because, quote, it is the way of God. And also because they or their families had intimate experience of suffering and knew they had nowhere else to turn. It's one of the hallmarks of our nation. It's all the way back from Avram and Sarah's tent to Yitzchak and Rivka's tent. Because we know that Rivka, the Baal's chesed, became like Sarah. She was the dugma of Sarah. Anan Kasher al Ha'ohal, Rosh Tibreshus 24:67, quoting Medrash Bereshus Rabbah, Anan Kasher al Ohal, Ner Dalek Mer of Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos, and Brecha Mitzui B'Isa. I heard Rabbi Zav Lef earlier this week say a very beautiful Nakuda. Avram Avinu was both the Amud HaChesed and the Amud Amunah. Because Rabbi Zav Lef Shlita said that Chesed and Amunah are synonymous with each other and go hand in hand. Avram Avinu was the epitome, he was the Bechinas Chesed. And he was also the Amud HaAmunah. Because you can't have one without the other. A Baal Chesed, a Baal Chesed truly believes that there is a Ribono Shel'Olam, and that's why I see the Tzelem Elokim. So I know how to greet others, I know how to help others, I know how to welcome others, and I know how to do for others. Chesed, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, provided an access of grace in dark times. It softened the blow of the temple, and now he quotes from the Avos de Rabbi Nasan. Once, as Rabbi Yochanan was walking out of Jerusalem, Rabbi Yeshua followed him. Seeing the temple in ruins, he cried, "Woe to us that this place is in ruins, the place where atonement was made for Israel's iniquities." Rabbi Yochanan said, "My son, do not grieve. We have another means of atonement, which is no less effective. What is it? It is deeds of loving kindness. Through chesed, Jews humanized fate, just as they believed that God's chesed humanizes the world." What a loss, Rabbi Sacks. As God acts towards us with love, so we are called to act lovingly to one another. Hashem loves us, we have to love someone else. Hashem gives us a saver panim yafos, you have to give it to someone else. Hashem grants you a measure of simcha in your life, give it to someone else, pay it forward. The world does not operate solely on the basis of impersonal principles like power or justice, but on the deeply personal basis of vulnerability, attachment, care, and concern. The world and we and our nation must recognize each other as individuals with unique needs and unique potentialities. This is what led Eliezer to choose Rivka to become Yitzchak's wife, and she was the first Jewish bride. Kindness and friendship brings redemption to the world. And in the case of one non-Jew, a little black boy, Stephen Carter, it can actually change lives. You might think it's a topic that is overspoken about, overused. We've all heard it before. Everyone knows. Everyone has to identify. I'm talking to myself. One way I could be a little bit kinder to somebody else. One way I could be a little bit more giving, a little bit more pleasant, a little bit more forgoing. Because the world is really upheld on these ideas. And like Shammai, who is very exacting, imagine it's he who says, Hevi mekavos kol adam b'sever panim yafos. V'yishmael says, Hevi mekavos kol adam b'simcha. When you find a little bit of chesed to bring a little bit of light to someone else's life, we are truly showing them a sever panim yafos. And we are adding a little bit of simcha to what might otherwise be a very difficult situation. And if God created the world, Olam Chesed Ibana, to do for us, we must emulate him and do for others. I know we've all heard it before. I don't know if you know the piece of Rabbi Sacks before, but it's a lot to think about and a lot to internalize and a lot to try and put into practice in our lives as well. So I thank Dvar Meibum very much. May the Shir be Ischus. These are not our biological children, but the spiritual peros that emanate from these Divrei Torah, and perhaps any act of chesed you choose to do because of this Shir, should be Ischus Aliyah Neshama for Rav Yehuda ben Achavar Shalom, Dvar Meibum's brother. Your site is 27 Cheshvan. And I wish my dear friend Shani Gerlitz a big mazel tov on the birthday anniversary. And I thank you for choosing to celebrate such a simcha by being Marbitz Torah. This is the mitzvos of Ma'isim Tovim. I look forward to continuing next week. I wish everybody a meaningful and uplifting Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov. Thank you.